Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the feasts of Saints Simon and Jude, who were apostles along with all the others that are even more familiar to us, Matthew and all the others. Let's take a look at the first reading for today. As we do, I'm struck by the entrance antiphon. These are the holy men whom the Lord chose in his own perfect love. To them he gave eternal glory. Now he gave them eternal glory because they followed him, because they were obedient to him, because they allowed the gifts that he had given them to be used for his glory. And they had no idea of that when they were children. They had not seen him. The apostles Simon and Jude have shared this feast since ancient times. Jude typically bears a medallion imprinted with the face of Christ. According to tradition, he cured the ailing king of Edessa with the miraculous image of our Lord. Jude is also the famous patron of hopeless cases, perhaps because those who sought the prayers of the apostles turned to him last because he shares the name of the traitor, Judas Iscariot. Simon's last name, the Zealot or the Canaanite, suggests that he was a vigorous defender of the law. Both Simon and Jude are believed to have died as martyrs. Brothers and sisters, today in our world, there are quite a number of martyrs for the faith. Many parts of the world. There are many martyrs for the faith. It's not just in the past. It's going on right now. I pray that it doesn't come to our door, but if it does, how many of us are ready to sacrifice our lives? Maybe we've learned to sacrifice or put aside all kinds of things for the sake of the gospel. But giving up your life willingly is not easy. It takes the grace and the power of God. So whether we need to die to ourselves just by self-sacrifice day in and day out, do it for his glory and honor. When you want to do something and you know you need to be doing something else. When you'd like to do this, but someone is in need and calls for you, or you're just your regular responsibilities of life, you'd like to run away for a day. And you pick them up and shoulder them and embrace them because God has asked you to do that. You are fulfilling your daily obligations. When you do that, you're putting yourself in a place both where God is very pleased by your generosity, even if it's hard won. God's pleased by it. But also, it prepares us. It helps us to train our wills to give way to God's plan, day in and day out. Should martyrdom ever be asked of us, that's the best preparation, to be able to say yes to God and no to self, day in and day out. The first reading for today's Mass is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. Brothers and sisters, you are no longer strangers and sojourners. You're no longer on a path looking for some kind of goal in life or purpose in life. You're no longer strangers and sojourners. But you are fellow citizens with the holy ones and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the capstone. Because of the lives of Simon and Jude and the other apostles, you have a foundation on which to stand. Are you going to build on that foundation for the generations after you? What can you do? Ask him. Take a look in your parish. Is God asking something of me that will make the foundation stronger and firmer for the generations yet to come? Paul's letter to the Ephesians says here, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the capstone. Through him, the whole structure is held together and grows into a temple sacred in the Lord. Are you putting all your trust in God? Or are you putting your trust some in God, some in other people, some in yourself? Where does your trust lie? It needs to all be in God. And if God chooses to reveal the fruit of that trust through other people, blessed be God, but ultimately it's God. That's where your trust needs to lie, that God knows you, that he created you, that he brought you into being with an enormity of love that we have no words for, and that he seeks for those to make a free choice to follow him. He never forces, but he offers us the grace and the power to make a free choice, and many, many, many people reject it. Where are you? Are you accepting the call of God to be part of this edifice that's built on a strong foundation and grows into a temple sacred in the Lord? In him, Paul says, you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Do you know what your part is? Do you know where your place is? Are you playing it? We say, well, no, I don't. I'm too elderly or I'm ill and I can't. That doesn't impede God at all working through you for his honor and glory. I've had the great blessing of having people who are social workers in hospice situations or people who are very advanced in age. And there I've seen some of the most glorious stories, even in the last few days of life, praying and, if possible, talking to others about God to draw them into faith, and have accomplished it. So don't rule yourself out because, well, my job demands too much. It doesn't have to demand. It does demand a lot. Many, many jobs do. But you can offer beforehand, and you can offer again when you complete the task, always offering to God for his glory, that my life may be a praise of his glory. Don't miss an opportunity, and don't think that anything that you're responsible for or have to do should obliterate seeing yourself as a disciple of the Lord. That's your call in life. Everything else is secondary. Everything is secondary to being a disciple, then to be a father or a mother or a single person in the world or someone in consecrated life or a priest. We're all called to something. Every one of us. God scatters single persons all over the world who in a certain sense can travel lightly. But he works with them right at home if you're willing. The question is whether you're willing. Remember in the scripture where the prophet responded, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. We should be praying that every day, many times a day. Here I am, Lord. And in other words, I'm present. I'm ready. Use me. Pray that when you're going into work. Pray it when you're coming out of work. Pray it during work. Pray it when you get in the car. You have no idea how God wants to use you. And when he has disciples who are attentive, you'll be amazed at what he does with you. Their message goes out through all the earth. The responsorial Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day pours out the word to day, and night to night imparts knowledge. So the word of God is going forth day and night, whether you're sleeping or awake. And when we're attentive to it, we begin to hear it in a certain sense. It requires time every day that we give to the Lord and give to the Scriptures. Get up 15 minutes early. 15 minutes isn't going to make all that much difference. Really. And give it to the Lord. Even if you think you're half asleep, give it to the Lord. What about the last 15 minutes of the day? Many days you could turn that over to the Lord. Do it. Get into a habit and a pattern. If you could do an hour, do an hour. 15 minutes is the minimum. Well, if all you have is 1 minute and you give it to the Lord, it's very, very precious to Him. So I don't want to get into a question of time. My question is a question of generosity or selfishness. Put the Lord in the center of your life, in the center of your day, in the center of your thinking, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to accomplish that. And He will. He will. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 to 16. Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. And He spent the night in prayer to God. And when day came, He called His disciples to Himself. And from them He chose 12, whom He also named apostles: Simon, whom He named Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called a zealot, and Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Jesus went up to the mountain and prayed. He spent the night in prayer before He selected the 12. How much time do you give to prayer when you're making important decisions? Start there. But it ought to be every decision of any kind of importance. You're always going to God, always turning to Him. Doesn't mean a written scroll comes down from heaven, but you put it before Him and you ask Him, Lord, if there's anything I'm moving toward that You don't want me to, please speak to my heart. Show me. And He will. If this is of You, Lord, may it lead to praise and glory and honor for You. Not for me, 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 but for You, Lord. Ultimately, it's all for You. When you have that kind of perspective, that kind of orientation, that kind of attitude, you will be amazed. And I often say that, but I truly mean it. You will be amazed at how God works with you and in you. But He never does that without permission. He gave us a free will, and He won't force us to act contrary to it. He'll inspire us. He'll give us a hunger and a thirst. He'll lead us in some way, but we could still reject it. So I want to say to you, please, on this feast of two of the apostles, it's a great day to say, Lord, help me to be Your disciple. Help me to follow You. And ask Simon and Jude to pray for you. They will. Ask them to pray for you, that you might see the role He has for you in life, or the role that He has for you right now in this chapter of your life, and then turn to Him all the time and ask Him for grace to live it out. He will be with you. May God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.